Okay, so if you're a coffee drinker, you've probably noticed something pretty stark lately.
You mean the price?
Exactly. Your morning cup costs a lot more. We're seeing US coffee prices nearly double since 2021. You are definitely not imagining it.
No, it's real. And what our sources are showing is that it's not just one single thing causing this. It's more like a perfect storm.
A perfect storm. I like that. You've got climate issues, shipping problems, geopolitics, even how the prices get marked up, all hitting at once.
Precisely. Independent disruptions crashing together. It's complex.
So that's our mission today, right? We want to kind of break down that journey, the bean's path from some farm overseas all the way to your cup.
Yeah, and pinpoint those layers. Climate, logistics, geopolitics, and crucially, those value chain markups show you why it got so expensive.
And it matters because, I mean, the US drinks a ton of coffee. What is it, like 450 million cups a day?
Over 450 million, yeah. And here's the kicker. We import almost all of it.
So we're completely reliant on the global supply chain if that hits turbulence.
The effect here isn't small, it's potentially catastrophic.
Okay, let's map this out. That huge demand means we must get our beans from somewhere specific. Where is most of America's coffee actually coming from?
Well, the sourcing is very concentrated. That's a key vulnerability. The absolute bedrock is Brazil.
The biggest player globally, right?
By far. They produce something like 37 to 39% of the world's coffee. In 2024, they shipped almost $2 billion worth just to the U.S.
Wow. Okay, so Brazil's number one. Who's next?
Colombia. They're the third largest producer globally, about 8% of the world's supply. And they sent roughly $1.48 billion worth to the U.S. in 2024.
So Brazil and Colombia are the foundation. A problem there is a problem everywhere, basically.
Exactly. A disaster in, say, São Paulo isn't just a local issue, it's a global supply emergency.
And this concentration ties into the types of beans too, doesn't it? Arabica versus Robusta.
Yes, absolutely crucial difference. Arabica is mostly from Latin America, grown at high altitudes. It's delicate, gives those complex flavors people
We
love.
pay more for it. It's the fancy stuff.
Right, but it's fragile, very sensitive to weather.
And Robusta.
Robusta is the tough one. More resilient, stronger, maybe a bit more bitter. Vietnam is the huge producer there, second globally.
And it's cheaper.
Significantly cheaper. So here's the structural thing. Most big brands blend the two. They use a cheaper Robusta to bring down the cost of the expensive Arabica.
Oh, okay. So if Arabica gets hit, they just, tweak the blend, add more Robusta, keep the price somewhat stable.
That was the classic strategy until this crisis hit both at once, which we'll get to. But first, there's this other weird thing in the supply chain.
The re-exporter thing.
Yeah, the re-exporter anomaly, Switzerland.
Right. How is Switzerland, a country known for mountains, not coffee fields, the third largest source for US coffee? By value, $1.18 billion in 2024. It makes no sense.
It makes sense when you realize what they're selling. They aren't selling green beans. They import green beans, process them, roasting, grinding, maybe putting them in those little capsules.
Ah, the Nespresso effect.
Kind of. They're selling a high-value manufactured good. They add industrial processes, then re-export it.
So the price isn't just about farming anymore.
Not at all. Suddenly, the price is tied to European labor costs, European energy prices,
Yeah.
things totally unrelated to the farm.
That's a hidden dependency, isn't it? Okay, so that's the complex setup. Now let's get to the shocks. What kicked this whole price surge off? You said climate back in 2021.
Yes, 2021 was the trigger. A really catastrophic frost hit Brazil.
Right in the heartland of Arabica production.
Exactly. It struck the linchpin of the whole system. And the impact was immediate, global.
The ICO, the International Coffee Organization, their price indicator jumped how much?
It surged 77.9% between November 2020 and November 2021, hit a 10-year high. That shows you the scale of that initial shock.
Okay, so a massive frost hits the main Arabica supplier, prices spike. But why do they stay high? Frosts happen, harvests recover.
Good question. Because it wasn't just the frost. First, prolonged drought followed the frost in Brazil, hurting the recovery. And at the same time, Vietnam got hammered by severe droughts.
Wait, they produce the Robusta, the cheap backup bean?
Precisely. Their Robusta production plummeted, reports say, by around 20%. So now you have this global pincer movement.
Ah, so the expensive Arabica is short, and the cheap Robusta you'd normally use to cut costs is also short.
Exactly. Roasters couldn't use their main cost-saving trick. They couldn't blend their way out of it. High prices got locked in.
Wow. Trapped. Okay, but a 77% price jump, that feels faster than just waiting for beans not to arrive. How does the financial side play into this, the speculation?
Right, that's where the C market comes in. That's the ICE futures contract, the global benchmark for Arabica. They trade in huge lots, 37,500 pounds.
So it's like a betting market on future coffee prices.
Essentially, yes. And it's not just roasters hedging. You have financial players, hedge funds, betting on price direction.
So they hear about a frost in Brazil.
And even though that frost won't affect the actual physical coffee supply for months, these speculators jump in immediately. They buy contracts, betting the price will go up.
So they drive the price up on paper long before the shortage is real.
Instant amplification. The C market price skyrockets based on the news of disruption, not the disruption itself hitting the docks. That's how a weather event translates into a shocking price surge so quickly.
Okay, climate shock, financial amplification. Then came the geopolitics. 2025 brought a whole new layer of trouble with tariffs, right?
Yeah, the policy landscape just got completely unpredictable. First, in April 2025, a sort of baseline 10% universal tariff hit almost all imports, including green coffee.
So boom, 10% added cost across the board right off the bat.
Right. But the really big one landed in August.
The Brazil tariff, 50%.
A staggering 50% punitive tariff specifically on Brazil. Sources linked it to trade alignment, political issues. Whatever the reason, the impact was huge.
50% on your main supplier. Brazil providing a third of U.S. coffee, that makes it almost economically toxic, as you put it earlier.
Pretty much. You can't just eat a 50% tax increase on your primary input.
So what do buyers do? If you're a huge roaster relying on millions of bags from Brazil, how do you pivot that fast?
It caused chaos. A frantic, expensive scramble to find replacements. Buyers rushed to other origins, Colombia, Guatemala, Honduras, anywhere they could.
But wait, if everyone suddenly tries to buy non-Brazilian coffee?
You create an artificial demand shock.
Yeah.
Exactly. Mm. The price for all non-Brazilian coffee inevitably gets driven up.
So the tariff on Brazil actually made coffee from Colombia and Guatemala more expensive too.
Yes. Even if those countries only faced the baseline 10% tariff, the whole market felt the upward pressure because the system just couldn't absorb that sudden shift away from Brazil.
And other countries got hit too. Vietnam, India.
Yep. They faced new tariffs as well. 20% on Vietnam, 25% on India. It was widespread.
Man. Okay. So we've got climate, finance, geopolitics. Now, the actual physical journey. Getting the beans here, that added costs too. Logistics.
Major costs, especially after 2021. Think about the ports.
Yeah.
Long Beach and especially New Orleans, the country's biggest coffee port, they faced huge congestion.
Right, ships waiting offshore.
Exactly. And waiting costs money. Serious money. It's called demurrage, basically. Parking fees for container ships, sometimes thousands of dollars a day per container.
Thousands a day. Ouch. That gets passed on, obviously.
Instantly. Added cost before the bean even leaves the dock.
And New Orleans is key because it funnels all that Latin American coffee inland, right?
It's the gateway for massive volumes heading into the U.S. interior. And then another climate hit, but this time on shipping.
Don't tell me.
The Panama Canal. Severe drought restricted transits.
Ah, I remember that. Less water, fewer ships could pass through.
Right. The canal is a vital shortcut for coffee coming from Latin America. Restrictions meant ships faced long delays, weeks sometimes, or they had to take the much longer route around South America or Africa.
Longer routes mean more fuel, more time.
Drastically higher shipping costs. So you had backups at the destination ports and delays and higher costs just getting there. It hit from both ends.
Okay, so even if you got the beans, paid the tariffs, the transport itself was adding significant cost.
Absolutely. And then there's the final leg. Once it's off the ship, you still have to get it inland. Say, from L.A. to a distribution center in Phoenix. That's hundreds of miles.
And that costs money, too, like expensive furniture delivery.
Good analogy. Domestic trucking costs soared post-2021. Diesel prices went through the roof.
Plus labor costs for drivers, warehouses.
All of it. That final stretch on U.S. soil added another significant layer of pure domestic inflation to the final price.
Okay, this is adding up. Climate. Finance, tariffs, logistics, domestic transport. But how does all that translate into nearly doubling the price on the shelf? This brings us to the amplification effect.
Yes, the multiplier. This is probably the most crucial bit for understanding the final price you pay. Every player in the chain, importer, roaster, retailer, they don't just add a flat fee. They add a percentage-based markup.
Okay, so if their initial cost goes up by, say, a dollar.
That dollar increase gets multiplied by each percentage markup down the line. Let's use the model our sources laid out.
Yeah.
Back around 2021, maybe the raw green bean cost was, say, $1.50 a pound. Pretty stable.
Then came the shocks. By 2025, that raw bean cost jumped to maybe $3.50 a pound.
Easily. Now add in the tariffs, the higher logistics, the total landed cost, what the roaster actually pays to get the necessary raw beans for, let's say, a standard 2.5-pound equivalent finished product, it jumped massively from maybe $4.63 to around $12.38.
Wow. Okay, so that's an increase of, what, $7.75 just in the raw materials and getting them here?
Right, but then the markups kick in. The roaster needs to cover their costs, processing, labor, energy, profit, so they might add, say, an 80% markup.
But now they're applying 80% to that much higher $12.38 base cost, not the old $4.63 cost.
Exactly. And then the retailer takes that inflated price from the roaster and adds their markup, maybe 50%, to cover shelves, staff, rent.
So that initial $7.75 increase in the base cost doesn't just add $7.75 to the final price, it gets blown up by the percentages.
Exponentially magnified. That's how a coffee bag that used to cost maybe $9 suddenly jumps to $17 or more. The structure of the business itself amplified every single shock.
It wasn't just absorbing the hits, it was leveraging them.
Perfectly put. The climate hit, the logistics snarls, the tariffs, they all got inflated by the percentage markups built into the system.
So wrapping this all up, it really was a sequence, wasn't it? Climate shocks hit the base commodity price.
Then global logistics problems and inflation added costs to the journey.
The 2025 tariffs forced this massive, costly reshuffling of where we even bought the beans.
And finally, the percentage markups took all those initial increases and just magnified them for the final price tag you see.
The implications for us, the coffee drinkers. It sounds like the days of cheap, stable coffee might be well over.
It certainly looks that way. Price volatility seems like the new norm. That era relied on cheap, stable output from just a few places, and that seems broken.
And for the industry.
But they have to be looking hard at building more resilient supply chains. More diversification, less reliance on just Brazil or just the Panama Canal. It's an urgent need.
Which leads us to that final thought, something for you, the listener, to mull over. If this climate volatility keeps up, if these kinds of tariffs stick around, what will we be drinking in 10 years?
Yeah, will we see a big shift away from that classic Latin American Arabica? Will we have to accept different beans, maybe hardier Robusta types, or coffee from entirely new places just to keep our morning ritual affordable?
Something to think about next time you're brewing that increasingly expensive cup.